Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. Tim will be back in the captain's chair tomorrow. He is in Washington, D.C. On his way back, I'm sure, today. I am joined in studio by Walker Wildman, Steve Jordahl. Steve, good morning.
Good morning. I talked to President Tim this morning.
Okay, well, we'll get back to that.
No, I'm not going to spill the beans.
You're not going to spill the beans.
I'm not going to tell you what we talked about.
Okay.
He'll tell you tomorrow,
okay.
But I did talk to him. He's fine.
All right. But I want to get back to Ray Pritchard, founder of Keep Believing Ministries. I want to give Ray an opportunity to talk just a little bit about the ministry that he has founded and he operates, Keep Believing Ministries. The website is keepbelieving.com. Ray, tell our listeners a little bit about Keep Believing Ministries and what they can find at your website.
Well, I hope everybody, Ed, will come see us on the internet at keepbelieving.com. We've got an online repository of Bible studies, sermons, outlines, videos, FAQs, all designed to help Christians, not just here in America, but because of the internet now, all over the world. We have folks from 225 countries and provinces and territories all over the world who come to our website to get free biblical resources. And so we want to encourage you to believe in Jesus and then help you find the strength to keep believing in him. So surf on over to keepbelieving.com and check us out.
All right. Thank you, Ray. All right, Steve, now, what can you tell us? You can't tell us how your discussion went with Tim Wildman, president of this ministry. He'll tell us tomorrow.
Oh, I can tell you that the discussion went well.
Oh,
I can. Yes.
What can you tell us about what's happening around the country?
Did he tell you what they had for dinner last night? I mean, I know it was a big deal, you know.
Salmon. No, fish. It was a
just
fish.
Just tease us
a
real
fish.
Quick.
Some kind of
they
fish.
Had,
people.
They had, what was it he called it? Alaskan cod, I think.
Have we mentioned at all where he was?
No.
Okay. Oh, that's right. We haven't really said that, have we?
Yeah,
we
hadn't said wherever he was.
Well, wherever he was.
He was having Alaskan
fish. He had fish.
He was having Alaskan cod.
Now, it wasn't like one of those
Long John
McDonald's.
Silvers, right?
Yeah, one of those McDonald's fish sandwiches or anything, was it?
It was not McDonald's. It might have been Alaska. Might have been in Alaska. I don't know.
Could have been.
Well,
could have been.
We just have to wait and
near
see, folks.
Juneau. We don't really know.
Yeah, that's right. Well, some of us here know, I think.
Oh, listen, Mr. Name Dropper over there.
Some of us know where he was last night, where he was eating that that Long John Silver's fish sandwich. We will let Tim let our listeners know where he was last night.
Yes.
So, all right, Steve. What can you talk about and what can you share with our listeners?
I want to start with Trump derangement syndrome, if you don't mind. Let's start here. The press has been trying to gotcha President Trump on the John McCain thing. First, there was this fake news about the flag flap, that he didn't keep the flag up long enough, and he was trying to...
At half-mast.
At half-mast. You didn't keep the flag
McCain.
At half-mast long enough, which, according to... the flag code, he did.
Right. Day of, half-mast.
The day the death of a, and the following day.
A member of Congress should be at half-mast the day of a member of Congress's death and the following day.
Right. But that's not good enough for members of Congress who automatically assume that John McCain, because I believe he opposed the president, is now regarded as a saint by the left. St. John. We're going to hear of miracles.
St. John of Arizona.
St. John of Arizona. I wanted to, this is, the several outlets took him to task. You remember yesterday when he was announcing the trade deal with Mexico, he had that live press conference with President Nieto, and he was in the Oval Office, and the press was listening to this whole thing. And he was taken to task for not answering questions that were politely posed to him as the press walked out, that he ignored them, that he was, you know, somehow just being aloof and that he owed them a response. I want you to listen to the polite questions that the president got. This is the press on the end of the phone call. This is cut two.
So congratulations to the people of Mexico. Great job. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well,
Well, how dare he not answer those politely asked questions?
That sounds just like my dinner table when I was growing up in New England.
I bet it does. That's but
family gatherings. That's what that was just like.
But seriously, people were the press outlets were taking him to task for not answering whatever question that was. Now, reportedly, we can't tell from the audio, but reportedly, all those questions were things like, did you intend to offend the McCain legacy by not keeping the flag at half mast longer? Or can you comment on why haven't you said more about it? Was all McCain, and it was all gotcha questions, and he just ignored them in his Oval Office where they were guests. Anyway, that was number one. I want you to hear number two. So I don't know if y'all are – do you play golf, Ed?
I don't.
Well, I know that Tim, if he were here, would resonate with this. Tiger Woods was at a golf tournament, and as everything is, everything goes around to politics. Tiger Woods was asked by a reporter, and the question was a little buried because he was off mic. So I will read you what the question. I'll tell you where it'll pick up. So the reporter asked him. He said, "I think a lot of people, especially people of color, immigrants, feel threatened by him, speaking of President Trump, by his policies." And he inserts himself into sports debates and everything. The clip begins and is still a little muffled, but what you'll hear him say is, what do you say to people who might find it interesting that you have a friendship relationship, a friendly relationship with him? Listen to, and then afterwards, we're going to hear the reaction to that from ESPN. ESPN's Max Kellerman and Stephen A. Smith were discussing his Tiger's response.
Okay.
What do you say to people who might find it interesting that you have, I guess, a friendly relationship with him?
Well, he's the president of the United States, and you have to respect the office. And no matter who's in the office, you may dislike personality or the politics, but we all must respect the office.
We must respect the office, therefore that confers respect to the occupant. Tiger, is that what you're saying? If that's what you're saying, that is a stupid comment. I don't even know if he believes that that's what he's saying.
Well, first of all, we don't know what Tiger Woods believes. He's Camblin Asian. He's not black. When he got arrested, he was black.
There you go. Playing the race. That was Stephen A. Smith saying he's Camblin Asian.
What does that even mean?
What? Camblin Asian, I wrote it down, is a blend of Caucasian, black, American Indian, and Asian. It was a term coined by Tiger to describe his own ethnic background. He calls himself Camblin Asian because he's a mix of all those different racial identities. He's black when he's arrested. Stephen A. Smith throwing a little political thing about the police in there.
Stephen A. Smith is pretty incendiary in his commentary anyway.
They couldn't handle the fact that that Tiger plays golf with the president and has a friendly relationship. I don't think Tiger has uttered a political word, unlike a lot of other athletes, in his life. He's about golf. He's about his golf game. You know, when asked, he will say statements like this. I think he's kind of the Michael Jordan variety that Republicans play golf to.
Ray, I got to say that you know, Tiger Woods, I don't play golf. I don't watch golf. I'm not particularly interested in it. I don't have problems with people who do, you know. It's not no moral problem with it. Right. I'm just not interested in it. So I know just a little bit about Tiger Woods. You know, he was phenomenal, you know, in his younger years and got himself in some, you know, relationship trouble. And
he's been getting close golfing-wise lately, too.
Yeah, right. Had some, you know, physical problems, I think, with his back and those kind of things. But to me, his comments seemed very middle of the road, you know, non-confrontational, non-controversial. Am I wrong about that? I mean,
No, you're not wrong. You're exactly right, Ed. Look, the guy had finished playing a tournament. In fact, they wanted to ask him as a follow-up, Steve, about race relations, and he said, look, I just finished playing 72 holes. I'm hungry. And he just cut the whole thing off.
Exactly.
I thought the way he handled it, Steve, was exactly the way a star or a celebrity, athlete or not, should handle these things. He clearly didn't want to get dragged into it. This is really more revealing about the other side, that if you're a celebrity and you are not willing to trash the president, then guess what? We're going to trash you. Mm-hmm. Only I don't think they're going to hurt Tiger Woods' legacy. He's one of the greatest golfers of all time. And it, who knows, you know,
it about gets his comeback, worse. But,
Let me just say, jump in here real quick, and we give Walker shoehorn Walker in here too. But I will go on. I'll say, though, I'm not a golfer, that Tiger Woods is the greatest Cablanasian golfer I know of.
Category of one, maybe. I don't know.
That might be.
Well, go ahead,
yeah,
Walker.
Yeah, this is we've gone from, you know, you need to dislike the president, and if you don't, you just need to be quiet. But you can't be far in public.
Right.
But now it's gone from you can't be quiet, you can't be in the middle, you got to come on our side. And if you're not on our side, then you're just as bad off as the Trump supporters.
Yeah. All right. So there's more to this?
Well, not to the Tiger story, but to the Trump derangement syndrome. I want to end the segment of Trump derangement palooza with an editorial from Robert Reich, who is the noted economist. And he wrote in Newsweek.
He was in the Obama administration.
He was.
Too.
He was, and he's a liberal economist. He looks for left leaning policies, but he's always been fairly, you know, academic. He makes the case that President Trump is probably going to be with us for a while. He writes, he's proved himself a superb con man, an entertainer demagogue, capable of sowing so much confusion and instigating so much hate and paranoia that he has already survived outrages that would have broken any garden variety loathsome president. In all likelihood, we'll have him for another 2 years, and don't bet on him losing the House in 2020. Even if he loses in 2020, he'll be fortunate if he concedes without literally being carried out of the Oval Office among the stirrings of civil insurgency. Oh, and let me remind you that even if he's impeached, we'll still have the loathsome administration, Pence on down. But, lest you fall into a miasma of gloom, there's another scenario, unlikely but possible. Suppose, Robert Mueller finds overwhelming and indisputable evidence that Trump conspired with the Russian President Vladimir Putin to rig the 2016 election, and the rigging determined the election's outcome. In other words, Trump's presidency is not authorized under the United States Constitution. Suppose these findings are so compelling that even Trump loyalists desert him. The Republican Party decides it's had enough and Fox News calls for his impeachment. What then? Impeachment isn't enough. Impeachment would remedy Trump's high crimes and misdemeanors, but impeachment would not remedy Trump's unconstitutional presidency, because it would leave in place his vice president, White House staff, and cabinet, as well as all the executive orders he issued and all the legislation he signed and the official record of his presidency. The only response to an unconstitutional presidency is to annul it. Annulment would repeal all of the unconstitutional president's appointments and executive actions and would eliminate the official record of the presidency.
Oh,
that was a lot. I'm not sure what to comment on.
I have never heard a more cockamamie idea in my life. To say you're going to annul a presidency has never happened. Not in our country. It's probably happened in
it's not allowed.
Republics.
There's no constitutional category.
No, but he does point out that we can amend the Constitution.
Well, but I don't think you can. I don't think you can amend the Constitution and then go back. You can
ex post facto. You can't
grandfather it in.
Right.
He says, in reading, the Constitution also gives Congress and the states the power to amend the Constitution, thereby annulling or altering whatever provisions came before. Here too, it would logically follow that Congress and the states could, through amendment, annul a presidency they determined to be unconstitutional. Now, mind you, this is all predicated on incontrovertible evidence that Trump and Putin were in on the election and that it actually worked.
And that it was so overwhelming that his supporters would believe that.
Robert Reich is the only person that is hanging on, I think, in Washington to this Russian collusion.
Well, the thing
argument.
That we can be comforted in, those of us who like the president and his policies, is that Congress doesn't do anything. So
it's good news.
The chances of them passing a constitutional amendment is very, very, very slim. They cannot even repeal Obamacare.
And they can't even pass a budget in the old way of thinking about
budget. So I think we're good.
Budget. Well, to your point, putting this in the category of Trump derangement syndrome, that is That is just a dream. That is a leftist dreaming out loud, daydreaming about what could happen if the world was all the way it should be. Now, I will admit to having those kinds of dreams.
About, you know, President Trump?
No, about if the world operated the way I wanted it to.
If you were king for a day.
If I was king for a day, sure. You know, all my teams would win their championships, all that kind of stuff. There'd be, you know, a pizza in every oven kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, but this guy, listen, Robert Wright, that makes me think this guy's a quack. And he's a well-known economist.
Very respected economist,
Yeah. Yeah, but
right.
He's a quack. Because this is never going to happen. And, God forbid that it ever should, because that's a prescription for civil war.
Well, yeah. doesn't it show the reality of Trump derangement syndrome and how far people will go? I mean, he's not saying, well, we've got to find a way to defeat him in 2020. He's got to leave the realm of reason altogether and enter into a delusion.
Yes,
that we all know will never happen. This how far this derangement syndrome is pushing otherwise well-known and very smart people. Well, very smart people can say some really crazy stuff, and this is proof.
The delusional, that's a perfect description. This is delusional, and I don't know if Robert Reich is on any kind of medication, but he's clearly not
say that.
On
That's
it.
The first thing I thought of. Get back on your meds, buddy.
All right, we got another story here because you wanted us to save 5 minutes or so.
Do we have time for the story and the
yes? Let's do that.
Let me just where is this Trump derangement syndrome coming from? PJ Media, a guy there, did a survey, and what he did is he put in his Google browser, he put in President Trump news, and what he got was 96% of the Google search results were from liberal media outlets.
Now we're talking like the top 100.
The top 100. PJ Media, which he is, nor National Review, nor Weekly Standard, nor Breitbart, nor The Blaze, nor Daily Wire, Hot Air, Town Hall, Red State, or any other conservative leading site made the top. CNN, 21% of the results. Washington Post, NBC, CNBC, The Atlantic, Politico, New York Times, Vox, CBS, all left-leaning publications. And these are, when you put in Trump news, this is what you get. This is why people think like Robert Reich. The president, by the way, might surprise you. You might want to sit down. The president was tweeting this morning.
No way.
Yeah. He tweeted out, Google search results for Trump news shows only viewing reporting of fake news media. In other words, they have it rigged for me and others so that almost all stories and et cetera news is bad. Fake CNN is prominent. Republican, conservative, and fair media is shut out. Illegal? 90% of results on Trump news were from the national left-wing media. Very dangerous. Google and others are suppressing voices of conservatives and hiding information and news that's good. They're controlling what we can see and cannot see. This is a very serious situation. Will be addressed.
And, well, listen, now this was not a scientific thing that PJ Media did.
Well, no,
They simply typed in.
Well, yeah, but it is kind of scientific. He used is Google manipulating its algorithm to prioritize left-leaning news outlets? Conservatives and Trump supporters have for the last decades doing this. To test the premise, I performed a Google search for Trump.
That's what I'm saying.
The search engine's news tab and analyzed the results using Cheryl Atkinson's media bias chart.
What I'm saying is this is a one-off. We're not sure this goes on for like 30 days in a row every time you check in. This was the one time the PJ Media checked this, right?
Yeah, you think that all of a sudden that Breitbart's going to be the top tomorrow?
I'm not defending Google. I just want to make it clear that this was so in other words, if I did it now, I'm thinking that a couple of Fox News stories might be in there.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah, and I don't know if Google sees that you've been searching Fox News stories predominantly, if its algorithms bring up some stuff.
Okay. All right. You wanted some time at the end because you said you had something that...
Ladies and gentlemen,
right.
I have found, after long and hard searching, the queen of snowflakes.
The queen? Is this a Snowflake file?
Snowflake. This is from the Snowflake file. I don't know if we can do that or not, but this is the queen of snowflakes. I want to read a post that she put up. She put up this post. It says, "Dear friends, it comes with great sadness that I am announcing the cancellation of my wedding. I apologize for canceling it only 4 days beforehand. Unfortunately, so-and-so and I have broken up due to some recent and irreparable problems. We've decided to end our relationship and not go further with any more proceedings. I will be spending these next months backpacking in South America, exploring my soul and ridding myself of toxic energy brought on by my family and friends. Before I begin this mini novel, I invite you to put yourselves in my shoes for once. Let me take the stage and let my voice be the painful few months of my life." Yeah, by the way, you will not be seeing this. Walker will not be posting it because I am overlooking tons of very bad language.
Oh, okay.
"We managed to save up nearly $15,000 for a wedding. Since our love was like a fairy tale, we wanted an extravagant blowout wedding, one where our son would be included." Might be a clue right there. "We started touring events, and a local psychic told us to go with the most expensive option. We thought, why not? So our dream wedding amounted to $60,000, including with flights to Aruba. I specifically," in all caps, I mean all caps, "specifically asked for cash gifts. How could we have," all caps, "our wedding that we dreamed without proper funding? We'd sacrificed so much and only asked each guest for around $1,500. We take a few people and even promised more. Oh, so our request for $1,500, we made it clear. If you couldn't contribute, you weren't invited to our exclusive wedding. It's a once-in-a-lifetime party." So we sent out RSVPs, and only 8 people replied and sent us checks. We were livid. How was this supposed to happen without our help from our friends? Desperately, we sent out invites. We asked, well, what can you get? Maybe 1,000. Certainly not a lot. It would be quite manageable and within budgets. So we set up a GoFundMe account. It only got us $250. At this point, we were exhausted, tired. I yelled at my ex, became unraveled, realized my dream wedding was becoming a nightmare, and it got worse. I called my maid of honor and cried my eyes out. Instead of sympathy, I was told, why don't you just rely on your budget? How could someone who offered me thousands of dollars deny me my promised money? And then she shifts to tell me to down my budget? She knows my dream was a blowout wedding. I just wanted to be a Kardashian for a day and then live my life like normal. I called her a filthy excuse of a friend and hung up. Anyway, I'm exhausted and bone tired. I need to get away from this awful society. How hard would it have been to just donate, friends? Do I matter to you? Just give me money for my wedding. I won't even sugarcoat. I won't even pretend it's not what I wanted. It was a dream. I was stabbed, cheated on, and worked. Goodbye. See you in 2 months.
In 2 months? What's? Oh, she's going.
She's
on,
going.
On,
she's going months. Hiking. Yeah,
is that for real,
that's
Steve?
For
that's
real.
For real.
That is for real.
Listen, I got a couple things to say here because we're out of time. First, I want the names of those 8 friends who sent her $1,500.
That's right. That's right.
And second of all, listen, that guy, whoever he is.
He really escaped a good thing, didn't he?
Thank God.
Yes. That's unbelievable. I am a little disturbed at how much you got into that story, Steve.
The queen of snowflakes. Wow. I will read with emotion.
All right, folks. You never know what kind of news and information you're going to get on today's issues. The queen of snowflakes. That title is going to be tough to take away from her. So anyway, Ray Pritchard, thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Hey, my pleasure.
Thanks. Walker, Steve, thank you guys.
Yes, pleasure.
Folks, more great programming directly ahead on American Family Radio. Bye for now.